So today is November 6th, 2024. November 5th was Election Day. Donald Trump won the popular vote. And so I wrote this poem. The poem is called In Preparation. I am preparing. I am preparing for sundown towns and sunrises where new strange fruit is unrecognizable outside of a wedding ring that remains. I am preparing for black women whose bodies are appreciated only because they provide more children for the prison industrial complex. I am preparing for whites-only signs on restaurant windows and books written by Baldwin burned symbolically because his body is no longer with us, but his words, too, must be strangled by those who are not strong enough to examine them objectively. Both parties are playing us, but the MAGA Republicans are not the Bush Republicans.
I see the difference between me and you is that I just hit rock bottom. After this, I don't have a choice. I got people to provide for, promises I've made, and goals to meet. You got.
What's going on, folks? This is Daryl, your host of the Narratives Over Wine and Whiskey podcast, where we discuss topics that impact black and or millennial communities while having a good drink. It's been that kind of morning. So, not going to switch up the format, even though this is an irregular day. So this pour was the Macallan 12-year triple cask matured bottle. You know, pretty standard scotch pour for me. If I had to have an everyday scotch, everyday single malt scotch, this one's it. Poured a little heavier. Yeah, that's a good one. What to say? So I'm going to start off this episode with a poem that I wrote. And I used to write poetry consistently. I mean, I was always in my poet bag. But lately, I've wanted to write. And I haven't truly been moved to write. But today I was. So today is November 6th, 2024. Obviously, yesterday was November 5th. November 5th was Election Day. Kamala Harris, Tim Walz versus Donald Trump, J.D. Vance. Donald Trump won the popular vote. And so I wrote this poem, and then I'll go into what it means to me that Donald Trump won after this. The poem is called In Preparation. I am preparing. I am preparing for sundown towns and sunrises where new strange fruit is unrecognizable outside of a wedding ring that remains. I am preparing for black women whose bodies are appreciated only because they provide more children for the prison industrial complex. I am preparing for whites-only signs on restaurant windows and books written by Baldwin burned symbolically because his body is no longer with us, but his words, too, must be strangled by those who are not strong enough to examine them objectively. I am preparing for concentration camps full of the Latinos whose documented family members abandoned equality because illegals were making their lives harder. I am preparing for the funerals of those I care about because they couldn't afford a flight to a country that allows women to make a tough decision that will save their own lives. I am preparing to see some of the white people I thought were friends show colors truer than I ever thought possible, because they don't understand that a class war is the one we should be fighting. I am preparing for the smallest infractions to allow black men to be thrown into prisons leaving black women and children unprotected. I am preparing for increased scrutiny by customs every time I come home. I am preparing for being turned away by customs for trying to come home. I am preparing for the waves of guilt that will come because I am not there to fight back. I am preparing a place here for you, my people. If you must cross the border, and if we must make a home in foreign lands, let us do so in the most just way possible, giving back more than we take. I am preparing to find out how unprepared I truly am. I wrote this poem from the perspective of someone who saw what was coming and left in advance. I wrote this poem a few months into Mexican residency. I was home and I voted. I voted on, I believe it was October the 19th. Early voting in North Carolina began the 17th. I voted on the 18th, flew back on the 19th. Yeah. This is challenging. As a student of history, I see America going down the same path that Germany went down prior to the Holocaust. And it's concerning. It is very concerning. I see the same rhetoric that came from Hitler being used in Trump rallies. And it's concerning. And I see a group of people who are not ashamed that Trump has aligned himself with Adolf Hitler. That same ideology. And I'm aware that it wasn't just the European Jews who were persecuted. There were millions of other people who were persecuted in the Holocaust, and that's concerning. There were people who did not speak up and speak out soon enough. And once it was their time to be taken to a concentration camp, there was no one to speak for them. And that's concerning. I'm not saying that Kamala was the best choice. Actually, I liked the socialist candidates. But Kamala was the choice to beat Donald Trump, and so I voted for her. Black folks, I looked at the percentages. We did our thing. I think black women were 92%. Black men were somewhere around 80%. Latinos, I don't know what some of y'all were doing, but the overwhelming numbers, as far as voting went, white people decided that racism, sexism, those weren't deal breakers. They decided that a man who was a felon 34 times over, those weren't deal breakers. A man who was found liable for sexual assault, those were not deal breakers. A man who, out of his own mouth, has spewed racism and xenophobia, those things were not deal breakers. And so while the burden is shared amongst Americans, white people have to own the lion's share of this. Black men who voted for Trump, you know, I got an issue with you all. Black women who voted for Trump, same thing. People in general who voted for Trump, but speaking specifically to my folks, I understand the Second Amendment argument as a black person. I understand it wholeheartedly, and I also know that they use that to keep us in their pockets. Same way that Democrats use the welfare argument and all of that stuff. So, I mean, both parties are playing us. But the MAGA Republicans are not the Bush Republicans. Already, not, you know, 24 hours into the election results being announced, my alma mater, UNCG, there was a post saying, or there was a post of a picture that said, white water fountain, black water fountain. This is my school. This is my school that I love. This is my school that I give back to. This is my progressive school. And there are seeds of hate that have been allowed to grow there thanks to Donald Trump winning the election. I'm concerned at this point that irreversible harm will be done to America. And so when I wrote that poem, that's my fear, is that there will be no coming back from what is about to happen, because America is not Germany. Germany does not have, and in the 1930s and 20s did not have, and 40s did not have the global influence that the United States of America has in 2024. This is bad for all of us. I'm in Mexico, but my boy Dev told me, he's like, you cannot run from the influence of the United States of America. And that's true. I am safer here. My son is safer. My family is safer. And the imperialism that is America still touches Mexico. Who, you know, Costco is right around the corner. Costco is an American company. Very patriotic company, you know, like America is still has its claws everywhere in the world. And so these decisions that are made and this influence will touch everyone. It just will not be as direct. My people, I said it in the poem, I am preparing for the waves of guilt that will come because I am not there to fight back. You know, I'm preparing to not be able to come home at times. I'm prepared for them to really tighten up the borders. I'm prepared to have to make a tough decision. Do I go see my mom or do I keep my kid here? I'm prepared for them to restrict communications across borders. Y'all don't, I'm not a fear monger, but I understand that history repeats itself. And if you look at what Hitler did and you see what Trump is doing, like, my podcast, my whole podcast is a reason for them not to let me back in the country if he says anyone who speaks out against me can go to jail, right? Like, let's keep it a buck. I don't know. I'm not even saying that. I was home last month. I saw a lot of people. I had a great time. UNCG, cheers to you for a hell of a homecoming. But I'm worried. I'm worried, and I hope it's in vain, but I don't believe that it is. This is tough. My whole family, like, when we left, we did not leave because of the politics. We left because of the policies around gun control. That was the specific reason. But the politics might keep us gone for a while. This is new. This is a different feeling. This isn't moving across state lines. This is someone who's been critical of someone who's trying to be an authoritative dictator. My platform isn't huge, but it's big enough that I'm concerned. Y'all, come down and visit me. I'm in Mexico City, Polanco. Holler at your boy. I'm out. The Narratives Over Wine and Whiskey podcast has been brought to you by Daniels Development and Branding, LLC. Contact us for all of your storytelling and fundraising needs. Visit us today at www.dollarsandstories.com.